Hello there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Stay informed, stay inspired, and stay ahead with DVM360, the leading multimedia provider of veterinary news. From breaking industry updates to expert insights and conference coverage from leading industry conferences such as Every Fetch Conference, WVC, and VMX, DVM360 keeps you up to date with the latest and greatest in the veterinary medicine industry. Visit DVM360.com and be a part of a community that's shaping the future of veterinary medicine.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. You know, we love all of our patients, of course, but there's like that special extra love that we have for the disabled pets that are out there. And we're going to have a nice little conversation about chatting about that, the Disabled Pets Project, who created it, and our wonderful colleague here, Dr. Melissa Shapiro, is in the house to share with us about her mission and vision. And it's so good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And to our listeners that are tuning in, a little bit of information about our wonderful friend, Dr. Shapiro. Well, first and foremost, like, you know, if you're not following her on Instagram and seeing her wonderful pack that she has, she's got, you know, Pink Piglet that I've been madly in love with for over these years. And she's just absolutely sweet. So she's a small animal veterinarian, author, and speaker. She's a creator and driving force behind the social media phenomenon Piglet, I just mentioned, the deafblind pink puppy. Dr. Shapiro is an outspoken advocate for disabled pets through media appearances, presentations at veterinary and pet care conferences, and on her social media platforms and through her monthly webinar series. Recently, she's created the Disabled Pets Project that we're going to chat about, a comprehensive resource for veterinarians and professionals, pet parents and rescuers who care for disabled pets. The website is disabledpets.org. And her nonprofit, Piglet International Inc., implements the Piglet Mindset educational program. It's an authentic teaching asset emphasizing resilience, inclusion, and kindness in schools globally. Her memoir, Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deafblind Pink Puppy and His Family, and a children's book, Piglet Comes Home, are available wherever books are sold. Dr. Shapiro is the owner of Visiting Vet Service. She lives in Connecticut with her husband, Warren Piglet, and her wonderful pack of rescue dogs. So keeps you busy right there, my friend.
I can't even believe that this is all about me.
And it should be, you know. Isn't it interesting when the tables are turned? Because, you know, when I go on others, I was like, oh my gosh, wait, this is, we're talking about me, because I'm always interviewing others. And I know you do the same. So it's a little different when the spotlight's on you now.
You know, well, you know, there's a lot of years to have collected all of that.
Yes. You've done a lot of great work. So so talk to us about what is the Disabled Pets Project?
Well, as you know, just talking about who I have in my pack over here, there's Piglet, who is deaf and blind. And we also have Georgie now, who's deaf and blind as well. I've always been very partial to disabled pets, and both my patients as well as my own dogs and birds and others. And I also, of course, senior pets also fall very nicely into my practice of house calls. So over all the years, I've had a lot of experience with disabled pets, which culminated really with the addition of Piglet 8 years ago. And so the seed was planted when I got Piglet and I went to the vet hospital with him, and my veterinary colleagues literally looked at me cross-eyed, like, what is wrong with you? Why are you fostering and then adopting a tiny deafblind dog? What are you gonna do with him? What quality of life will he have? And that made me very upset, of course, to start with, because they were actually giving me a hard time about something that I had fallen in love with and knew, of course, that he would have a very good quality of life. So that's where it started, and it evolved over the years with a social media page on Facebook, Piglet the Deafblind Pink Puppy, and on Instagram at Pink Piglet Puppy, where we collected large numbers of followers who are into dogs, of course, but into disabled dogs. A lot of them have disabled pets at home, and a lot of them were encouraged to adopt disabled pets, not only dogs, because of my dog. We inspired others to take the leap and say, you know what? He's not perfect, but I'm going to take him home and love him and look at the quality of life that these animals can have. So I was sort of primed to create a project or and a website for veterinarians, pet parents, and rescuers who care for disabled pets. And the mission behind it is to raise awareness, educate, advocate, and normalize disabilities in pets so that when a veterinarian has somebody come into the door with their deaf-blind dog or their paralyzed dog that they want to keep, or whatever the disability is, that veterinarian is going to say, okay, I understand, not jump to euthanasia and have a conversation about quality of life with an open mind, because quality of life, as we know, is relative. And my dog's quality of life is not the same as yours, but is it equally as good? Yes. His life is different. He can't go for a hike in the woods off leash. But he can do things that your dog, I don't mean you personally, but others are doing. So the Disabled Pets Project came about because I wanted to have a hub, a resource for vets to send their clients when they weren't sure or didn't have time to support them. And I wanted pet parents and rescuers to have that resource available to them so that when they came across an animal that maybe their own pet that became disabled or a potential adoption, that they would say, I know there's a support network for me. So the website is disabledpets.org. It has actual information in PDF format about various disabilities and categories of deaf and blind, mobility issues, senior pets. Pets with neurologic issues. So there are 10 PDFs there. And they're instructional, they're informational. And then I've got sections on the website for support. There are support groups that we know are on Facebook mostly, where people go and they get advice from others. They share their experiences. Some are good and some aren't good. I've looked at a lot of them and I've chosen some that I've heard good things about and that I've actually looked at and seen what the conversations are. Those are on there with links. So maybe you have a newly diabetic dog, which is a disability. It's an illness, but it's a disability as well. I categorize it that way. People can go to the website and look under the support groups and say, okay, here's a support group for people who have animals with diabetes. And the same goes for cerebellar hypoplasia, deaf and blind dogs, and whatever the disability is. And then there's an area for supplies. So I've got some supplies. I need more contributions from others who know, whether they're veterinarians or pet parents, that have good sources that I can put onto the website. So looking for contributions that way. But it's all set up. There are links on there for supplies groups. And then I have Instagram accounts of disabled pets that are very good accounts for people to see and witness and learn from, as well as rescue organizations that are focused on disabled pets, whether it be a specific disability or more broad. So I have all of that on the website. I think it's very nicely organized. It's very easy to follow and find what you're looking for. And then we have affiliated both Facebook group, which is called the Disabled Pets Community, which is a group of people. A lot of Piglet followers went on there that don't have disabled pets, but there are people with disabled pets that will share their stories, their pets. Maybe they have a question. It needs more and more action on there. It's relatively slow. It's very new at the moment, but there is a support group for people with disabled pets. And then there's an Instagram account, which is called the Disabled at Disabled Pets Project, which is where we want to share people's pets. So there's a submit your pet button on the website, you share your disabled pet, and then I post it on both the Instagram and the Facebook page and tag you. And that sort of gets the word out, gets people sharing and maybe an enthusiastic about disabled pets. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I think the most important part of this project that I have is I think that veterinarians learn and are open-minded to people coming in. A lot of people are complaining that their vets recommend euthanasia for animals that they do not want to euthanize. They poke around from vet to vet, maybe up to six veterinarians before they find somebody who is willing to take care of their pet in a positive way, not giving them a hard time, nagging them to euthanize a dog maybe that has chronic bladder infections from being paralyzed and say enough is enough already. But some very, very serious disabilities. There's a little dog that came from China. He had he was terribly disabled. They had to amputate his penis. He leaks urine all the time. He gets urinary tract infections, yet he goes on hikes in the woods. He doesn't even have his back legs. He goes on hikes into the woods in a wheelchair, up and down the mountains. And so if when you see him running in his wheelchair or with a little drag bag, she's had him for years. He is the most amazing, adorable dog, and she has put up with being, sort of badgered that why is she keeping him alive? But when so he's one of the examples that I give if I present about disabled pets, because he's a really good example of somebody who's willing to spend money. This is your best client. They come in, they want you to take care of their pets. So that's the veterinary aspect. I want vets to be open-minded and really step back and say, I'm going to help these people. And if I can't help them directly, there's a resource now that I can send them to on disabledpets.org. Because on that website, there are support groups and there's information that the pet parent can see and use. And the other part of it is that there are suggestions to vets when people come in to say, you have other clients in your practice that have animals just like this. You do not have to sit and talk to them for an hour. You can send them to your best clients who are treating a newly diagnosed diabetic or a dog with no back legs that needs a wheelchair. How now that there's chafing in the wheelchair, what do you do to keep your dog comfortable in a wheelchair? These people already know this. You have clients that can help your new clients that have newly diagnosed and adopted dogs with disabilities. So I think that that's really important for the vets, and I have the whole section for vets on there. And then I have also for rescuers who have dogs, cats, and other pets that come in disabled, just general rescues, and they don't know what to do with them. They want to find another rescue to help and support them, and those rescuers are there for them. Unfortunately, there are also rescuers which happened in Chandler, Arizona, where a rescuer had 20 alias names, was collecting animals, taking disabled pets from other rescue groups who thought she could do a better job than them, sending their pets with these animals with brand new wheelchairs and other equipment that she never used. These were very neglected and really abused animals in her house. And finally, a rescuer from Texas went in and broke the case. She wanted her dog back and got the police in there and the Arizona Humane Society. You might have heard of this case. And for the rescuers, I feel so terrible for them because they trusted somebody. I want to have a list of rescuers on my website, disabledpets.org, with people that I have vetted that I know are trustworthy and reliable and that are there to help. So it also is a resource for rescuers in that sense and context. And then for people who are adopting pets, it's all there for them too. And so, I think that the crux of it is that disabled pets are here. There's tons of them on Instagram that we can find, and people are adopting them, and veterinarians should be here and ready to help. And the pet parents should also have the support that they can, come to me and to others. Where someone just contacted me the other day, a rescue in actually a doggy daycare type of place in California, and they take in rescue dogs that they take care of and foster and adopt out. So they have a dog who's deaf and blind, and they really don't know what to do with her. They're having trouble placing her. So she's 10 months or whatever she's less than a year old now. I hooked her up. First of all, I sent them to my website, thedisabledpets.org. And I shouldn't say mine, it's really our nonprofit's website, but I'm the one managing it and creating it. And then I have some good friends that are rescuers of deaf-blind dogs. And I hooked her up with one of my good friends in Ohio who helped me with my own deaf-blind dogs. And she is a really great resource for others who have dogs that need to be placed, that just have questions about how to work with them. So there's a nice network of people available. And I really want people to know about it, both veterinarians and pet parents and rescuers, that they have there are resources for them to use, and they don't have to throw their hands up and say, I don't know what to do with this animal, and certainly not euthanize it. Quality of life, if the quality of life is deemed to be so poor, obviously there are cases that there are disabilities that we all know that that's not a life for an animal, then euthanasia is an option, but maybe not the first option in many of these cases. So that's how it all got started, and that's where we are with it now.
That's great. No, and it's nice that there's this central hub for rescue organizations, pet parents, veterinary professionals, all to kind of have this centralized location to learn. Because, as a general practitioner, you and I get it too. Like, time, these things do take time to chat with. And, when you have a busy schedule on the books and you want to, give them the undivided attention that they rightfully deserve. But there are some things that they can go and have this safe space where they can chat with other groups and get some of their questions answered. And then really kind of focus in on maybe urine scalding, UTIs, whatever that might be with the veterinarian's lens. So that way, they could be best served and utilizing their time when they're having that appointment with the veterinarian.
I think the vet techs also are a really nice place within a vet practice to help people because
Oh yeah.
they're very handy, of course, and they're very
Phenomenal.
experienced with all of these aspects of a disabled pet. They're also I think maybe somebody needs help at home. A vet tech can make a house call. The parent, the pet parents pay the vet tech. They come in and help teach them how to do various things, or they might know of others that would be able to help. So it can be done in practice and also in somebody's home. And there are also house call vets that do have extra time than a vet in a very busy practice. And maybe veterinarians in the area might know of another vet that would be better suited to take care of somebody with a disabled pet that needs a little bit extra in the house. Maybe, depending on people's schedules, obviously house call vets could be very
Yeah.
as well, but they tend to spend more time per appointment because they're in a home and they're there with, and they also can see what's going on in the house. Like I've walked into houses where there are old dogs that can't stand up on a wood floor at all, and there's no yoga mats, there's no footing on the ground. They're walking down five steps of concrete stairs going down to the yard. And if they came into your practice and you don't see their house, you don't even know what's doing there that could actually use some very nice suggestions of a ramp and yoga mats that would change that animal's quality of life in 1 minute. So just something like that, I think, is also really nice for ha to call a house call vet. Just a little pitch for house call vets.
Yeah, we need them. And the house called vet techs too, like you mentioned. I think that's
The vet
fantastic to
techs
have. And
really, I mean, I
yeah.
my vet tech friends go to people's houses. I hook them up and they're bonded and they've got their own insurance and they go and they do what they're going to do and it works really well.
Right. Excellent. Well, Dr. Melissa Shapiro, thank you for all the great work that you do and a great resource to check out the website. To the listeners, we'll put it all in the show notes as well, so that way you can check it out and get the word out there. We got to help out our disabled friends there. So, but yeah, great job, Melissa. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for
Thank
having
you
me.
for listening to the listeners out there. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.